If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 12, John 12, verse 27. And let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. John 12, verse 27. Make sure I'm right because I just got. John 12. Everybody there? And the Lord says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the rulers of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we praise you. Lord, we honor you, and Father, we love you this morning, God. And thank you, Father, for, Lord, for what this time of the year represents, Lord God, and for the Christian this every day, Lord God. We praise you, and we honor you, and we thank you, Lord God, that you have went to that cross, Lord God, and that you've done the work for us, Lord God, if we could just understand, Lord God, what you went through on that cross for us this morning, Lord God. And Father, that we would, as your people, Lord God, pick up that cross, Lord God, and carry it daily, Lord. And I pray, God, if there's one here, Lord, that doesn't know you this morning, Lord God, that find their way to you this morning. Ask for that sweet spirit, Lord God, that is convicting them to come to you this morning, Lord. I pray that if there's a Christian here, Lord God, that just needs a closer walk, Lord God, I pray that your precious spirit would reveal that to them this morning, Lord God. And Father, I pray that I could just stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and Father, you could use me as a mouthpiece for your people, Lord God, for your glory, and all in your name. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we enter the Easter season, I've been studying that Easter sometimes for, it's easy to preach, but for a lot of people, or for me, a lot of times on the holidays, I just want to keep on going. So I want to pray and do what it is that God wants me to preach. And this morning he brings me to this passage, and I have studied over it here for several weeks. Didn't know when I was going to use it, but God always lets me know. And I want you to try to understand this morning what Jesus went through on that cross. And this was actually after the triumphal entry that this happened. And Jesus is talking to the people, and he is in Jerusalem at the time of the feast. And they're having, and Jesus is in there. And right before this, I'm going to back up and read verse 23. It says, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most surely I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. What is Jesus saying there? He's telling this, and we're going to get to this other part. God, back me up a little bit here. I want to try to explain this scripture to you as I get it. And it says, verse 23 says, but Jesus answers them saying, now what has happened, some men have came up to Philip and some of the others there, and they have asked, they wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus knew that his time was coming and that it wouldn't be long before he'd be on the cross. And so Jesus tells them the time has come, and he wants to get away, and at that time he goes away with his disciples. But before he does this, he says, most assuredly I say to you, Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces grain. I thought about, you know, what is Jesus saying there? Jesus is telling us, in order for us to serve Him, we must commit our life to Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have to die to the world that we live in. Just like I planted peas and corn and potatoes and all that stuff in my garden at the house, and you put them peas in the ground, a little handful of peas, I planted like 3 rows of black eyes and 3 rows of purple hulls and 3 rows of cream peas. And in a few weeks, that pea that's in that ground, it was dead when I put it in the ground. But now when that sun and that water hits it, it'll rise up and it will produce many. And God is telling us that what we should do as God's people, if we're going to call ourselves a Christian, we need to live the life that God has given us. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in return, when we do that, people around us will be saved. People will get the message. You will plant seeds in people's hearts. But first, Jesus says here, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And what God is saying, you know, we want this and we want that and we pray for this one and we pray for that one and we want all these things to happen. What are you doing for God? Have you given yourself to God? Have you, what did Jesus do? And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. He says, if you give yourself to Him, you die to the world, you put on His cross and you carry it. And in order for you to do that, now God don't tell us that we have to be, I think about those guys in Jerusalem when I was over there, that all they do, you know, they got the long sideburns and the long beards and they go to that wailing wall and they wail all day is what they do. God wants us, if we are His people, to give our life to Him and let Him have control of our life. I said one morning this week in one of my devotionals, and God just puts this in my heart. The brother Charlie sent back a text and said, that's what we've been always taught. We always say that we are going to accept Jesus Christ and live for Him. You know what we need to do? And I said it in that devotional. What we need to do is let Jesus in our hearts and let Jesus live, and we need to die. That's what he's saying right here. We need to let Him into our heart and let Him run our life. And that means that not just the spiritual part of your life, which is everything. What we need to let Him, we need to let Jesus be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our life. And that's exactly what he's saying in this passage here. If you die to Him, if you give yourself to Him, then you are going to produce much grain, much wheat. Many people are going to come. Just you don't have any idea what you're doing when you pray in a restaurant. You don't realize what effect just living the Christian life. And that's what Christ is saying. He said, give up that world. In other words, die to that world. We have to function this world. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to live. We have to work. You can do all that, but live for Jesus wherever you go. Do what it is He wants you to do. And so what we do is die to self and let Jesus Christ live in us and speak to us and walk with us and talk with us. Verse 25 says, if he loves his life, he'll lose it. For some people, that's hard to comprehend. What are you talking about? You know, and there's all kind of nuts out there preaching the word. There's all kind of philosophers out there. There's all kind of religions out there. When it gets to the stuff that they don't understand, they bypass it. They want to go around it. They want to make something better. What God is saying again, he who loves his life will lose it. And what he's talking about is, you might not be able to do all the things you want to do. I remember when I've said this 1,000 times. When God called me to go to seminary, I was 45 years old. John and I were talking about this the other day. And I had no desire to go to school anymore. I didn't want to go to school. What in the world I got to go to school for? And I pondered on it and passed it up and quit and didn't go. And then finally, God put me in contact with this guy that was doing a revival in my church. And he said, you don't have to go to Fort Worth all the time. He said, you can go to Houston. Go to Fort Worth once. Anyway, God worked it out. And so, and I said, and I had excuse after excuse and after excuse. You have to die to the world and let Jesus take charge. And what I'm trying to say, if you let Christ take charge, everything that he wants you to do, he will meet you there and it will happen. I was working full time at the state and pastor of the church. How am I going to do that, God? That was my excuse. What I finally had to do is say, Lord, you just do it. I called my boss, one of the directors over here in Huntsville, and he said, you just go on. As long as that thing's running, it don't make any difference. You've been here a lot. Just go to school on Monday and Tuesday and come back Wednesday. As long as it's running, I don't care. God made a way. God will help. And God said, that's what he's saying. If you love your life, what you got here. Let me read it. I'm messing up. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In other words, you leave this world alone, you put Jesus in your heart, and you do what Jesus wants you to do, no matter how hard it seems, give it to God, and he will see you through. There's nothing that you cannot do. I'm not telling you like one of these, these people that teach you can do anything you want to do with your mind. Well, you can if the Lord is in that mind. But you can't do nothing. You cannot do nothing. You can only do it if you let the Lord Jesus Christ live in you. So, the rest of that verse says, he who loves his life and loses it, and he who hates it, hates his life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. You know, a lot of people say they're Christians. A lot of people say they are God's people. They are Christians, but they don't act like Christians. A lot of churches say they're churches. You know, they represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't more represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell more about Monday night football and all the things of the world than you can about God. A lot of churches, you know, y'all have heard me say a lot of times, and I just, a couple weeks ago, I had to do a funeral with another preacher. And he's a good guy. I know him. Been knowing him a long time. And we meet with this family, and the first thing I do when I meet with a family that's lost a loved one is pray. And we usually meet with the funeral director, and when they pick out the casket and set the time of service and all that stuff. But before we do that, I pray. And so this not being my church that the funeral was going to be in, I just sat over there by him, and I'm going to let him run it, you know, since it's going to be in his church. Well, the guy that had lost his wife was sitting there crying, and I'm patting him on the shoulder. And he went on, and we're going to do this. He's drawing paper on the casket. He's going to sit here, and you go this way. I said, and this guy kept on crying. And I said, hold it up. Let's pray. What Jesus is saying, in anything that we do, put him first. If we eat over here, you put Jesus first. If we decide to build a big building, you put Jesus first. Make sure that Jesus is in it. And people call themselves preachers and teachers and Christians, and they don't more put Jesus in it. You know what I think about Jesus? Wednesday night, Sunday morning. That's when they think about Sunday, they think about Jesus. And what Christ is saying here, and if it hurts you, it hurts you. He said, if you live for the world, you're going to die with the world. If you live for me, the last part of it, if you live for me, you will have eternal life. And he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And that's what I want. I want God to honor things that I do. And that's what every one of us need to do. We need to take the lead. It's time that Christians stand up. The world is in a mess. Yes, it is. We ain't got to worry about the world. We can be concerned about it, but we know that we win in the end, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We follow Jesus. Let him take charge. I had people call me the other day. Oh, my God, they're shooting rockets in where we was at. I don't even know where they're shooting them at. Shot down a plane. Shot down. Word that's going to be a war. Hey, have you read Matthew 24? Have you read? There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be all kind of. All of that is going to happen. But Jesus is in charge. And sometimes I wonder if we understand that. Dealing with people that, you know, and as I say, even preachers. You know, I've been in with preachers and sat down to eat lunch somewhere and they don't eat. Wait, let's pray. You know? You put Jesus first, and that's what God is saying here. But Jesus Christ, in this preaching, two sermons in one. Jesus Christ, in verse 27, I woke up at 4:10 this morning, and I got in this right here, and God spoke to me about this, and I'm going to tell you what God told me, and if you disagree with it, you disagree with it. If you don't, praise God, you're seeing what Jesus sees. But in verse 27, Jesus is talking, and he says, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus, I want you to realize something. Jesus was not weak in his dying. Jesus was he was full humanity. He was a man. He was just like you and I. The Lamb of God was a man that was going to the cross, and he was full human. We'll see in a minute. He was not Superman. He was just a man obeying what his Father said, going back to the Father. He was doing what the Father said. And you read John, in every other verse of John, I'm here to do my Father's business. It's my Father's will. And so Jesus, number one, in verse 27, was fully human. And his soul troubled him. Why did his soul trouble him? Because we can't even comprehend what Christ went through. His soul troubled him because he could see the sin of mankind throughout eternity. Every sin that ever been committed, every murder, every suicide, every sickness, just like the man losing his son yesterday. Jesus could see all them things happening, how his people was going to hurt, and he was troubled because he loved us. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us to obey his Father. He was on. I've already said it once. If Jesus is not part of it, you hadn't got it. Because Jesus was fully human. Jesus, his soul was troubled. He says, Father, what shall I say? Take me from this hour. Not because he was weak. He wasn't weak. He was Jesus Christ. He was strong in every situation where you and I can't be in every situation. He said, I'm hurting. I'm weary. You know what I thought about that? Because Jesus had walked with God all through this. From the time he was born. Jesus had walked with God. And for a while, Jesus knew that in order for you and I to be able to go to heaven, for you and I to have salvation, that there was a time coming when he was going to be separated from the Father. Think about it. Go back to before you got saved, if you're here this morning, you say. And there's not a one of you in here that say, I want to go back there. Because that's what it felt like to be separated from the Father, to be separated from God, to be out there. Jesus knew that he was going to hang on that cross, that he was going to suffer and bleed, and his Father was there in a sense. We'll talk about that. His Father was there, but for a moment in history, God had to turn his back on his Son and let his Son do what he sent him there to do. I believe that's all my heart. He said that he took on the sin of the world. And he could see the torture and the torment and all the things he's going through. He says again, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. For that reason, Jesus came to earth with one thing in mind. God had a plan from the Garden of Eden to the cross. God knew what he was going to do, and he knew he was going to send his Son, and his Son was going to be obedient to him. And the same as Jesus was obedient to God, you and I have got to be obedient ourselves. Listen to the next part. I thought about this morning. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, I say a lot of times, every message that I preach, and as a preacher that's preaching the gospel or preaching the truth, will tell you that God leads them. The Holy Spirit leads me. The Holy Spirit guides me. The Holy Spirit tells me what to say, telling me what to say right this second. Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's fixing to go to this cross, and he's crying out, and God talked to him. It wasn't, I got this feeling in me. The Holy Spirit of God talked to him. When we read that verse right there, it was audible. You could hear him. When God speaks to you and I, just like Moses. Moses went up there and God spoke to Moses. Just like I thought about when Jesus spoke, Lazarus come out of the grave. Adam and Eve, remember when God came into the garden? He was calling them. They heard it, and all the Son of God was fixed to die, that was hanging on that cross to be tortured, and he heard his Father from heaven. And he said, in an audible voice, Father, glorify my name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And people, in any endeavor, anything that Jesus Christ tells you to do, he is there with you and he will back you up all the way. He is there before you are. He was assuring his Son that was fixed to die on that cross, that saw all this suffering, that saw all this pain. He was assuring him that it was going to be okay. That's what he's saying. Just like when you're sick, when you got a loved one that's sick, when you lose a loved one, like Bud and Charles and Jennifer's going through this morning, when you lose a loved one in that family, Jesus is saying it's going to be okay. It's okay. Because you see, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it's but a good night. But there's going to be a better day. When you step into eternity, you'll see your loved one. But Jesus is crying out for the Father, and he's hurting. And in verse 28, Father, again, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had spoke to Jesus Christ on that cross. That's who it was. People say things every day. But regardless of what it said, the people, when something happens, people's always got something to say about it. And I think that's the way to tell you and I that just forget about the people. You're not doing it to satisfy the people. You're doing it to satisfy God. hear people, I can't come to church because of this, because of that. You don't come to church because of people. You don't come to church because of things you've done in the past. You come to church to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to go out there and tell people about the Lord. Jesus heard that audible voice. And then look at this. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Jesus was fixing to die. Jesus was fixing to be beat to death. Jesus had the pain and the suffering of the world on his back. And what did he say? That didn't come to help me. That come for your sake. In other words, I'm already the Son of God. I'm trying to tell you who I am. He said, it is for your sake. It is for your sake. The voice. Verse 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. I want to pay close attention to this. When Jesus, we're going to sing a song next week, or the week after next. It's called, I don't know the title of it, it talks about the battle is ended. When Jesus Christ went to that cross at Calvary, he took away the sin, he took the sins of the world. Read the scripture again. It says, therefore the people, verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment. Jesus is on that cross to take the sin of the world to that cross, and to it was over. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. In other words, there's a conflict between the devil and Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the slain. He is going to that cross to take away the sins of the world and to take away the ruler of this world. That's what he said. That's to take it away, to do away with it. Where that you and I could live in peace. But you see, we let this devil, Daddy used to say, dog us to death. He's beat. He's defeated. He's destroyed. He's not the ruler of the world. He wants to be, but he'll never be again. And in that last day, he'll be cast into that lake of fire forever and eternity. The only way that you can make eternity is to die to yourself, to give it to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus Christ and live for him. He said, and in my Bible, this is a red letter. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will be drawn to all people. See what God is saying? He's saying, if I be lifted up, you don't have, it's not about anything that you can do. If I be lifted up, there has been a million books wrote, probably more than that, on visiting people and how to build churches and how to do that and you know, how to bring in the crowds, how to bring in all the people, fill the church house up. God said, if I be lifted up, if you just preach me, if you just walk around wherever you work, if you're a member of Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, if you walk around, if you love people, if you show the love that Jesus Christ showed in you, Jesus will draw the people unto him. That's what he said. I mean, that's what he says in his word. He says, I didn't say this. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. The devil will be cast out. Jesus has become the high priest. He had to die and go to the... He is the high priest. He is the one that we go to. And if I am lifted up from this earth, I'll draw all people unto me. This, he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Jesus answered, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." If you're walking around out there today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are walking in the dark. It's like walking through the woods. I've heard Tommy and Charlie talk about when they were coon hunting and their lights would go out or something. They're walking in the dark. You can't see nothing. You walk around the world, you can't see if you don't have Jesus in your life, because he is the light. He is the light of the world. If you walk in darkness, if you want darkness, that's what you're going to have, darkness. If you want Jesus Christ, all you got to do is call him. Just call on him. He said if you call on him, he's going to come. If you're out there this morning, he's calling on you right now. If your stomach is turning and flopping and your palms are sweating, and as I did a million times sitting on the back of one of them pews, Jesus is talking to you. The only thing that you can do in your life that you will ever be happy again, that you will ever see any peace, is to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's it. But you see, that conflict was on. And Jesus died on that cross. And it was a final conflict. Take us in the words that's on. Final conflict. I wrote down some of them. Jesus reclaimed the world for God. That's what he did on the cross. He reclaimed the world for God. God put Jesus in control of the world when he sent him that cross. And there was a battle. And praise God. How's that song go? The battle is over. The final conflict has ended. And Jesus, our Savior, has won. Jesus has won. We don't have to live in this world. We have to live in this world. We have to work in this world. We have to survive in this world. But we don't have to mix with this world. We have to go with what Jesus did. He went to the sick. He went to those in need. He went to the widows. He went to the orphan. He told people, ministered to people. That's not saying you can't do that. What he says is die to the things of this world and let the world see there's something different in you, and let your light so shine on the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are you letting your light shine this morning? And lastly, Jesus said in verse 36, while you, the light, believe in the light. I'm talking about the other verse that if you walk in darkness, you're in darkness. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And Jesus wants to be with his disciples, the Last Supper. And we'll talk about that next week, maybe. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I just thought that I'd read this scripture. The Lord turned to it in Isaiah 53:3. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hide, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Do you understand that? As we, like sheep, have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, this morning, that's all you need to know. You live for him. And if he is in your life this morning, you walk with him and he loves you And he wants his children. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I heard the other day, my little brother at a funeral, he was using the 23rd Psalm, and he gave an illustration or told something that he did to just kind of tell you what Jesus is doing this morning with your life if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, he said with him and Vicky, they go to Colorado every summer for, he has a revival for a week, and then they have another week or two that they just ride around the mountains. He said they had this game that they played, and it was who can find the shepherd. There's a lot of sheep up in Colorado. And he said they would all look at all these herds, hundreds and hundreds of sheep, and they would try to find the shepherd in amongst them sheep. And he said he always won. He said a couple times she won. And he said, she said, how do you always know where the shepherd is? And he said, the sheep are always looking to the shepherd. You see, you and I need to always be looking at the shepherd. And if we keep our eye on him, we're going to be okay. But those sheep that run astray, I just mentioned, if you're living in darkness, you're going to have darkness. If you're living in light, you're going to have light. Jesus loves you this morning, people. Let's pray. And let's stand. And Sister Ruth comes to the piano. Brother Tommy. Father God, I come to you this morning. Oh, Father, I know there's those here this morning, God, that don't know you. God, I pray, Lord God, that they understand what you went to that cross for, Lord God, that you defeated death. That you defeated hell, Lord God. That you defeated sin, Lord God. That you are the King of Kings. That you are the Lord of Lords. And God, whatever binds them, Lord God, if it's drugs, if it's pornography, Lord God, if it's divorce, if it's money problems, whatever it is, Lord God, help them realize this morning, God, if they would just call on your name. If they'd just be one of them sheep that look to the shepherd. If they would just cry out, because you said that your sheep know your voice. And God, I pray right now, Lord God, that, Father, that you would touch your people this morning. God, I pray for anyone here, God, that needs to come and pray, God, that they do that right now. God, I pray there's one that doesn't know you, Lord God. I pray that they would come right now, Lord God. Father, and come down this aisle, Lord God, and get on their knees, Lord God, and go before you, Lord, and just, all you got to say is, Father, I messed up. I want to live for you. I believe that you died on that cross. I believe that you arose again. I believe that you've gone to prepare a place for me. And I believe one day that I'm going to go home and be with you. And Lord, I want to live the rest of my life with you. And so I'm putting you in charge. And Lord, I'm dying to myself. I'm going to let you live in me. Father, we give you the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.